Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. Before we do get started, I want to let you know about a great way you can support the show. Whenever you're thinking about making travel plans, go to johnnydollarair.com. JohnnyDollarAir.com is powered by Priceline, so you can name your own price on hotels, rental cars, airline tickets, or choose from great published fares. And if you find a great price there, through that link, part of your purchase goes to support the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio at no additional cost to you. So when you're making your travel plans, remember JohnnyDollarAir.com first. Now it's time for today's episode of yours truly, Johnny Dollar, The Duke Red Matter, Parts 3 and 4.
From Hollywood, it's time now for...
Johnny Dollar.
Who?
Johnny Dollar, the insurance investigator. This is Miss Abbott, isn't it?
Yes. What are you doing in the stable office?
Waiting for you to call me. Your father threw me off the farm a few minutes ago. A man named Cully, who works for your dad, said he really didn't mean it. Said he'd fix it up for me to talk to you.
Cully. I guess that's why he asked me to phone the stable office.
You told me the horse wasn't injured, shouldn't have been destroyed.
Oh, I hope you didn't believe all that, Mr. Dollar.
Well, now look, I've got to settle a $65,000 claim on the death of a racehorse. The carcass was cremated, and I have no evidence that the horse was destroyed or even injured. I don't know what to believe yet, but I can tell you this. Don't ever talk to an insurance investigator the way you did earlier today, not unless you can back it up.
My, you sound grim.
You sound like it's a laughing matter.
Hardly anything's a laughing matter. I'll be right down.
Tonight, and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator...
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar, location San Pietro, California, to the Universal Adjustment Bureau, Universal Building, Hartford, Connecticut. The following is an accounting of expenditures during my investigation of the Duke Red matter. 15 minutes after I spoke with Terry Abbott on the phone, I looked out the window of the stable office and saw her starting down toward the stables. She'd changed clothes. This time she was wearing blue jeans and riding boots. She carried a quirt in one hand, a cigarette in the other. There was a scarf or some such tied around her hair. All in all, it was a classic impression. Rich girl, racing horses, and fast cars. She wore a disdainful pout, also classic.
Hi.
How do?
Father asked me where I was going, and I told him I was going for a ride. Why'd he throw you out?
He didn't like questions I asked him, I guess. I don't know.
Maybe I won't like the questions you ask me.
Possibly. Probably.
You don't really work very hard trying to please anyone, do you?
Industrial hazard in my business. Hope it doesn't bother you too much, Miss Abbott.
Nope, I like it. You're so darn sure of yourself, and you know so darn little, and you look like you might be thinking all kinds of things. How tall are you? No, let me guess. 6'1"?
Not quite.
Well, you're tall enough, I suppose. Do you like this office? I suppose you've been opening the files and going through all of Father's papers. That's what you're supposed to do, isn't it?
Nope.
Well, unless you know something about horses, the papers around here wouldn't mean much to you. Times, weights, whole schedule and chart for every bit of stock on the place. Do you know anything about horses?
Just one. Duke Red.
Oh.
He was insured for $65,000. And he's dead now.
You know, I didn't think I'd ever see you again.
I wanted to talk to you before I left.
What about? I didn't insure Duke Red. My father insured him. Your business is with my dad, not me, Mr. Dollar.
Pardon me if I seem a little confused, but earlier today you were very anxious to tell me something about all that.
Was I?
Yes, you were. Hey, what is this anyway?
I wish we hadn't met.
But we did, and you mentioned there was no need to destroy Duke Red after he'd been injured. Now, did you say something like that to me because you were angry at your father? Or did you say it because there was some truth to it? Well, now, what's that supposed to mean? Do you just stand around and pout when people ask you questions? Did you mean that horse wasn't injured, or that he was injured, but that he could have been saved? Well, did you have any reason at all for saying the things you did?
I've been very upset lately. All of us around here have been very upset.
Yeah, I'm getting that way myself.
Duke Red was the best horse we've had around these stables in 5 years. His father was a real champion, Earl Red, and maybe you've heard of him. He earned $190,000. We've all been counting on Duke Red since he was a colt. He had it then. This was going to be his big year. When this stupid accident happened, it just turned all of us upside down.
Uh-huh. Is that your explanation for the things you said to me?
Yes, for the moment. Now, please, don't ask me any more questions right now.
One more.
What?
Your father fired a couple of people I wanted to talk with. One of them was a Howard Monroe.
Dad's office manager.
Yes, I met him a couple of nights ago. He wouldn't talk. He was too mad. Said something about letting your father handle his own dirty business.
What?
Now, I don't know what that meant, and I don't think I care just now. But the other man who was fired was a horse trainer named Warner, Tom Warner. According to your father, it was Warner's neglect that caused the horse to stumble and back into the tractor blades.
What?
Warner isn't around here now, but he must be somewhere, and I want to talk to him. Now, where can I find out his address?
He's from Baltimore, Maryland.
Baltimore. What about his address?
Well, it'd be in the personnel files. You can get those at the office in town, in San Pietro.
Okay. Do you think he went there?
I don't know. I don't know. And what's more, I don't care.
The Abbotts, father and daughter, were turning out to be a real peachy pair to deal with. I left them in their racing farm and drove back into San Pietro in the offices where I obtained the Baltimore address on Thomas Warner. Expense account item 4, $1.05, one telegram. To Hartford in the office of Niles Pearson, requesting a complete record of Benjamin Abbott's financial status. Item 5, $1.60, another telegram. To Thomas Warner, horse trainer, requesting him to contact me as soon as possible at the San Pietro Hotel. Meanwhile, I did what I could to establish Abbott's local credit standing. I started with the bank.
Dollar?
That's right.
What's it about?
I'm an insurance investigator. I'm working for Universal Adjustment Bureau. We have a claim in on a property of Benjamin Abbott.
Duke Red?
That's right. $65,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's quite a load. What can the bank do for you?
Tell me about Abbott's credit situation, for one thing.
Oh.
He does bank here, I presume.
Yeah, for years. My name's Dale Ryan. We better go in my office.
Sure.
Grab a chair, Dollar.
Thanks.
Miss White?
Yes, Mr. O'Ryan.
Bring in Mr. Abbott's file, please. Up to date.
Yes, sir.
It'll take a few minutes, Dollar.
All right. Maybe you can give me a rundown on how things are generally.
Maybe. This is all confidential, I suppose.
Absolutely, Mr. O'Ryan. I have no axe to grind.
You must have something to grind, or you wouldn't be here. People usually try to cheat insurance companies for money reasons, don't they?
Well, usually, yes.
Have you been cheated?
I don't know. I don't know if there's any reason for us to be cheated. Look, maybe it'll put your mind at ease if I just tell you that a man with a $65 claim has his financial situation checked, as a matter of course.
You're a careful bunch of cut-ups, aren't you?
Well, business being the way it is, yeah.
Well, I don't think you'll find too much to raise an eyebrow about with old Ben. He's got one of the largest balances in town. Roughly, it'd be in the $100,000 area. Yeah, racing horses is quite a business, and he knows what he's doing. I doubt very much if he'd try to bamboozle you people out of a tiny little $65,000.
Well,
that's small change to Ben Abbott. That ranch, the stock, his investment there must come to well over $1 million. He meets a weekly payroll in the $10,000 class. Terry must run him a couple of thousand a month or so.
You mean his daughter?
Yeah. Met her?
Yeah.
Well, when Terry wants a new car, she just parks the old one she's been driving and takes a plane to San Francisco and buys a new one. She might even feel like having a vacation and fly over to Honolulu. She's very expensive that way.
If what you say is true, she must be.
No doubt about it. Well, she'll probably be marrying somebody one of these days as soon as she can find a guy who can stand the freight charges. I figure it'll be one of that Los Angeles oil gang or somebody from Texas. Oil's her best bet, don't you think? Well, that is, if she wants to stay in her social circle. It isn't very wide, naturally.
Naturally.
Oh, yes?
Mr. O'Ryan.
Oh, come in, come in.
Mr. Abbott's folder.
Oh, thanks. Well, here it is. See for yourself.
Yeah.
There's a lot to it. You want to take that office over there and look this over, Mr. Dollar?
Mr. Dollar? Yeah, I think I'd better. I spent the rest of the afternoon going over Benjamin Abbott's local bank standing. It confirmed in detail what Mr. O'Ryan had said in general. His assets were many, his cash on hand plentiful. Also, and this has a bearing, the activities of his daughter Terry were indicated in some of the expenditures. There was only one item I had to question O'Ryan about when I'd finished looking it all over.
Yes, Dollar?
I noticed a check was drawn 5 days ago payable to Howard T. Monroe, $5,500.
Yes?
It's marked bonus.
Monroe handled business affairs for Abbott a year or two, and Monroe left a few days ago. Probably severance and things like that.
Yeah.
Anything wrong?
I don't know. For all I can gather, they didn't part company under the best of terms. As a matter of fact, they had kind of a row. Seems strange he'd pay Monroe a balance after he kicked him out.
He's a strange guy. Check cleared all right. No question on it.
Oh, yeah, I noticed. Something else, then.
Hmm?
Monroe was fired last Tuesday. Monday, a man named Thomas Warner was fired, too.
Tom Warner? The trainer?
Yeah. Abbott told me Warner was responsible for the accident with Duke Red. Funny.
What?
Well, according to these books, Abbott should still owe Thomas Warner a month's salary, $700.
Well, let me see. Yes.
No bonus, no salary, no severance.
Seems to me Tom Warner's got a kick coming.
Why doesn't he kick, Mr. O'Ryan?
I don't know. I would.
Most anybody would. I rechecked Abbott's local office in San Pietro and learned that Warner had not left any kind of forwarding address. As a matter of fact, he told no one he was leaving. Expense account item 6, $1.98, dinner, alone, in the dining room adjacent to the lobby of the San Pietro Hotel. I wasn't enjoying my chef's special with a limp green salad when the clerk came in.
Mr. Dollar.
Hmm?
I thought you might be in here. A long distance call for you, Baltimore, Maryland.
Oh, yeah, fine. Where can I take you?
Use the lobby phone, Mr. Dollar. I'll plug you in from the switchboard. Yeah, go ahead. They're on the line now.
Good, thanks. Thanks very much. Hello? Hello?
Hello. Is this Johnny Dollar, the man who sent the telegram?
Yes, who's this?
This is Thomas Warner's father. The wire I opened it, it said it was important for Thomas to get in touch with you. I thought I'd better call and tell you where you could reach him, Mr. Dollar.
Well, that's very kind of you, sir.
I come home from work. I think this is best. You call him in San Pietro. He worked near there for a man named Benjamin Abbott. Ben Abbott, training horses. You get in touch with Thomas.
Oh, wait a minute. I'm in San Pietro now, Mr. Warner. Your son left here 4 days ago. Didn't he come home?
No. Are you sure Thomas is not at Mr. Benjamin Abbott's farm?
Positive. Do you have any other ideas where he could be?
No. Not sound like Thomas, though, Mr. Dollar. He would not go off away without letting his mother and me know.
Are you sure?
I am sure, certain. Thomas, my son, he always let my wife and I know where he is, so we don't worry. Something is wrong, Mr. Dollar?
What?
Is something wrong?
Yeah. Maybe there is. Yeah. Plenty. Johnny Dollar.
You placed a call to the Universal Adjustment Bureau in Hartford, Connecticut?
Yes, I did.
We have Mr. Pearson on the line now. Go ahead, please.
Thank you. Hello?
Johnny?
Niles. Ben Abbott's rating with Dun & Bradstreet is very good. He doesn't need any money. I still haven't determined if there was really an accident. Oh, and no one seems to know what happened to Thomas Warner.
Who's that?
The trainer who was supposed to be with a horse when Abbott destroyed it. One, his father called me from Baltimore. He doesn't know where he is either.
Is that so?
Something just occurred to me, Niles.
What?
Abbott's claim was filed over a week ago, yet he hasn't threatened to sue us or go to the insurance commission.
Why, no. And that's usually pretty standard procedure with a man like Abbott.
It is. If he has a just claim. Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar. Location, San Pietro, California. To the Universal Adjustment Bureau, Universal Building, Hartford, Connecticut. The following is an accounting of expenditures during my investigation of the Duke Red matter. I had a strong suspicion that the death of Duke Red, a racehorse, had not happened as reported. The one man who could possibly answer my questions was missing. He had left the Abbott Ranch in San Pietro without collecting a month's back pay and without telling anybody about his forwarding address.
Just a minute there, sir.
Hi.
Mr. Dollar.
Hello, Kelly.
Mr. Dollar, you can make this pretty hard for me. Mr. Abbott told me I shouldn't let you on the ground.
Well, now, you didn't strike me as the kind of fellow who took that order too seriously.
What do you want, sir?
I want Thomas Warner, wherever he is.
Well, he isn't here.
I know that, Kelly. I want to find out where he is.
Probably went home.
I talked to his father in Baltimore. His father hasn't heard from him.
Oh.
Wouldn't you like to know where he is?
Men come and go, Mr. Dollar. You're friends with them for a little while, and you never hear from them again. I reckon that's the way we have to look at it. Now, maybe you better go now, Mr. Dahl.
Suppose he didn't want to go without saying goodbye. Suppose he didn't have a choice.
What do you mean?
I mean a man doesn't pass up a month's pay just to make a fancy exit.
We can't talk here, sir.
Where did Thomas Warner stay?
He had a room off the stables, his own place.
How about there?
All right, Mr. Dahl. You wait for me, sir.
I walked on down to the stables again and found the little apartment Thomas Warner had used for living quarters. The door was locked and I waited outside, looking over the workout tracks and the acres of rolling green turf that made Abbott Farms. A little while, Cully appeared.
I shouldn't be doing this, Mr. Dollar. Mr. Abbott would skin me alive if he knew I was having any truck with you after that big row you had with him yesterday.
Well, I'm not about to tell, Mr. Abbott, Cully. I appreciate your help.
This is where Mr. Warner stayed all the time he worked for Mr. Abbott.
Uh-huh.
You can see for yourself, it's all cleaned out, not a stitch left.
Yeah. Did you happen to see Warner leave here that night?
Right after the accident, he was gone. Mr. Abbott came up to the house about 9 o'clock. He told us all that Duke Red had been hurt, he had to shoot him, and that he had taken care of the rest.
You mean destroying the carcass?
Yes, sir.
That's a pretty big job for one man.
Well, I believe Dr. Gorey helped him with it, sir. He was with Mr. Abbott.
Oh.
Then Mr. Abbott told us that Mr. Warner was to blame for the accident and that Mr. Warner wasn't with us anymore.
I wonder if any of the others saw him actually leave the premises.
Well, now, we talked about that amongst ourselves. Nobody saw him go, Mr. Dollar. We thought it was kind of funny. Tom was a friendly, quiet sort of man, but he had a lot of friends here.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of disappointed us all, I guess.
Did he have many things in this room?
Clothes, mostly. He was a light traveler, Mr. Dollar. Horse training was just one thing. He worked on ships and in mining camps and lumber mills, I know that much, and he read a lot. Always seemed to be studying, finding himself.
Did he have a temper?
No, sir. No, sir. That's one thing Mr. Tom didn't have. Good horse trainer can't afford to have a temper. Even Mr. Abbott he could handle. All except that night, I guess. Mr. Abbott got powerful mad, I'm sure. Mr. Abbott is not an easy man to work for.
How long have you been with him, Cully?
23 years, sir. We were together in Maryland before he moved the stables to California.
His bad temper hasn't bothered you?
Mr. Abbott was different than he is now. I mean, when Ms. Abbott was alive. But then when she died and raising Miss Terry, he hasn't had it so easy. I mean, easy with himself. You know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I think so.
I worry about Mr. Abbott, Mr. Dollar. He don't seem to run himself well sometimes. You know what I mean.
Yeah.
Maybe Duke Red being gone now will help. Mr. Abbott counted on that animal a lot. Counting on a racehorse is not just being anxious overnight or for a week, but being anxious for years, from the time they're colts to when they first step out. Now he don't have that worry at all. Maybe it'll do him some good.
What about his other horses?
Them? Well, none of them like Duke Red. Not the same at all. They'll race and make money, but nothing like Duke Red.
Yeah.
Mr. Warner said he was a fine horse.
Tell me, what kind of a car did Mr. Warner drive?
Well, he didn't have a car, Mr. Dollar.
How do you suppose he left here? He must have been carrying luggage.
I reckon so. He could have lugged him out the highway and flagged himself a ride or waited for the bus. They come by all the time.
Think he might have called a cab in town?
Didn't use the house phone. Maybe the one down in the stable office.
Maybe someone drove him in, Cully.
Miss Terry might have, sir.
Huh?
Miss Terry drove Mr. Warner around now and then.
Did Mr. Abbott approve of that?
No, sir. He did not.
After my talk with Cully, I took a chance and hung around the stables trying to get a line on Thomas Warner. Ben Abbott's belligerent attitude seemed to permeate the whole farm. The horse handlers I talked with were grumbling and complaining. I was able to learn nothing from them. I decided to tackle Abbott himself again. He wasn't in, but his daughter was.
Well, you came around just the right time, Mr. Dollar. We haven't had too much excitement around here all day long. I think they're supposed to toss you out on your ear when you show up. That should be interesting. Would you like a drink?
No, not right now, thanks.
Not right now, thanks. Now, isn't that the end, the bitter end? So precise, so efficient, so determined, so anxious to do a good job. To be a sober, steady, substantial, expert bore. Now, what is it?
Who are you mad at, Terry? Tom Warner?
Why should I be mad at him? Horse trainer.
Because he left and didn't say goodbye?
Maybe.
You know, when I first came in this house 2 days ago, you were arguing with your father. I couldn't help overhearing it. Was that about Tom Warner?
Yes. Dad said he wasn't good enough for me. I'm all right now.
Something else that day. That business you were telling me about before. It'll have to be looked into.
Why, for heaven's sake?
Because you intimated that your father and Dr. Gorey might be lying about the whole thing. Do you realize that if there's any truth to it, your father'd be liable for criminal charges?
I know. I was just trying to put Dad in a bad light with you. It was just for good old-fashioned first-class spite. Him telling me about not seeing Tom and all. We've been arguing for weeks about it. When I saw you the other day, I thought it was a good chance to get back at Dad.
I see. Tell me about the trouble over Warner.
Why tell you?
Well, let's say I'm an interested party. I like you, Terry.
Well, Tom and I saw quite a bit of each other, and Dad never liked it. I suppose because I'm all he has left. Mother and Bob, he was my older brother, were killed in an airplane accident a few years ago. Dad's always expected me to marry one of the Long Island horsey set, the turf, something, I don't know. Anything but a horse trainer. He's been looking for an excuse to get rid of Tom.
Your father doesn't strike me as the kind of man who'd have to give an excuse to fire someone he didn't want around.
Well, he found an excuse. He blamed the accident on Tom. Do you think he's mad?
What's that?
Nothing.
Do you suppose your father will ever calm down so I can talk to him?
I don't know. The Abbotts have always been a terribly angry group of people, very emotional. There doesn't seem to be much of a let-up these days.
Terry, is that what you meant when you asked me if I thought your father was mad?
I suppose so. It's almost as if he's been on the verge of something lately, something desperate. His moods frighten me sometimes. They didn't used to. I don't easily frighten. But looking back, 2 years ago, Daddy bought a new car. We were out driving one day right after he bought it, and something went wrong. The gear shifter, some little thing. Well, Daddy was so angry, he just backed the car up and smashed it into a cement wall and left it. That was when he first frightened me, the first time that I can remember.
Have you been frightened much?
Since then? Oh, yes, many times. That's why Tom was so nice to have around. He never became angry. Never did things like that. Like the men I know. Tom sat quietly, and he let me sit beside him, reading, talking. I'm not that kind, really, of course, but I liked it with Tom. I liked it very much. You asked me about him, Johnny. Well, I'll tell you. If he'd come to say goodbye to me, there would have been no goodbye. I would have gone away with him anywhere. I was in love with him from the first day he came to work here. I still am. I always will be. Well, that's all there is to tell.
Did he know this, Terry?
Yes. And he knew I meant it.
I do.
Hi.
What can I do for you?
Constable in.
I'm in. I'm the constable, Tad Polk.
My name's Johnny Dollar. I'm from Hartford.
Mm-hmm. What's your trouble, Mr. Dollar?
Well, I'm worried, I guess, Mr. Polk. I walked around for a long time before I came in here.
Yeah, sit down. Yeah, hardly anybody drops in this time of night, unless they're drunk. How about you?
Nope.
No, didn't think so.
Mr. Polk, I'm an insurance investigator. I've been in San Pietro 3 days now, trying to get the facts about a claim filed by Benjamin Abbott.
Mm-hmm. I suppose about his horse, Duke Red.
That's right, Mr. Polk. I can't seem to locate a man named Warner. Thomas Warner. Worked as a trainer for Abbott up until the day of the accident.
Go ahead, sir.
Warner and Abbott had an argument over the accident. Warner left. He was fired. His folks in Baltimore haven't heard from him, and they're worried. I can't seem to get a line on him myself, and I need to talk to him.
Yes, well, what exactly do you want me to do for you, son?
Help me find him.
You sure he's missing?
He isn't around.
You want to make out a missing persons complaint, that it?
I suppose so, yes.
Yes, all right. Now, you just sign here.
All right. There. You guarantee results?
I might surprise you, mister. I'll let you know what happens.
Now, here's our star to tell you about the final intriguing episode of this week's story.
Tomorrow, well, it all hinges on a decent man who knows he's loved and never said goodbye. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, is transcribed in Hollywood. Written by John Dawson, it is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone. Be sure to join us tomorrow night, same time and station, for the next exciting episode of Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Roy Rowan speaking.
Welcome back. Well, this mystery builds. And this is one of those cases where Johnny is sent out to prevent insurance fraud. But the case may involve something far worse. Well, we'll find out on Friday what it is. I have to say, in terms of a cliffhanger, the way that ended with him casually saying that basically he'd take a look at it. The constable will take a look at it. To be continued. I don't know if that was the best one in the series, but I'm certain they'll give us a good ending. All right, well, listener comments and feedback. Christine emails in, "Hi, Adam. I must say, I'm really enjoying the current Johnny Dollar presentations. Bob Bailey rocks as Johnny Dollar, even more than he rocked as George Valentine. I listened to the Todd Matter over the weekend, and it seemed familiar to me. I want to say I heard a similar storyline on the lineup, but perhaps it was an earlier Johnny Dollar episode. Do you even know if this is a recycled storyline?" Yes, Christine, like a lot of the five-part matters, the Todd Matter actually was a mixture of some story elements from the Rochester theft matter and the Baltimore matter. Thanks for the question. Terry Palmer over on Facebook says, love the Johnny Dollar episodes. Well, thanks so much, Terry, and thanks so much for everyone listening out there. We'll be back tomorrow with a presentation of the Purloin Letter, and then join us back here on Friday as we wrap up Duke Red Matter. In the meanwhile, your comments are appreciated. Box 13 at greatdetectives.net is where you send them. You can also follow us on Twitter, Radio Detectives, and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.